Welcome back. It's another edition of the Wobcast, and I'm your host, Mike Wobschall, coming to you from Xfinity Studios at Winter Park with producer Nate Vaughn by my side. It is the late week edition of the Wobcast, and you know what that means. Time to preview the Vikings' upcoming game, and this week it is a battle against the St. Louis Rams, the 4-3 St. Louis Rams. And when you look at the Vikings and the Rams, you see two teams who are alike.
Started the preparation this morning for St. Louis. They're a good football team, similar to us, I think, in some ways. You know, they're very good defensively. They run the ball extremely well. Put a lot of pressure on the quarterback, and so it'll be a good test for us. We need to get our fans out there and be nice and loud and continue playing well at home.
Coach Zimmer is right. These two teams very much alike. He referenced how they can both run the ball and how they can both apply pressure to the quarterback, but I got a few more similarities between the Vikings and the Rams. Both guided by defensive-minded head coaches who want their teams to play with aggression, discipline, and toughness. Talking points that both Mike Zimmer and Rams head coach Jeff Fisher use when talking about their teams. Both of these teams are right in the thick of it in the NFC wildcard chase. Neither team is out of their division race, but as it stands right now, these two teams are chasing wild cards. The Vikings are one game ahead of the Rams. Both teams have a strong special teams that they can rely on when they need to. The Vikings special teams have been very instrumental in their three-game winning streak. Both teams have big-time running backs, as Mike Zimmer alluded to, and both teams can pressure the passer because of dominant defensive lines. Both teams are young and athletic in the back end and in the secondary. So two teams who are very much alike. Now, when you look at the Vikings and the Rams, though, the thing that really strikes you is defense. Both of these teams are very good defensively. You look at tail of the tape, points allowed per game. The Vikings, number two in the NFL. The Rams, number four. Yards allowed per game. The Vikings, number seven in the NFL. The Rams, number six. So these two teams very much alike and very good on defense. Now, the St. Louis Rams, their rushing defense is very good, and it all starts up front for them. They have a bunch of first-round picks on their defensive line. That includes defensive end Robert Quinn and defensive tackle Aaron Donald. Both of those guys about as good as it gets at each of their positions. The Rams bolstered their defensive line in the offseason by signing Nick Fairley away from the Detroit Lions. Of course, you have Michael Brockers on that group as well. So a very talented front for the Rams defense. Only one team has 100 yards rushing or more against this Rams bunch since week two. That was the Arizona Cardinals. Only three rushing touchdowns allowed all season by the Rams defense. And oh, by the way, they have 26 sacks on the season, which is second in the NFL. But all is not lost, because this is a Vikings team that comes into the game with Adrian Peterson coming off of a 100-yard game against the Chicago Bears, his third 100-yard game of the season. And the Vikings will not be dissuaded from running the ball, even if things start slowly against this Rams front. The Vikings averaging 31.7 rushes per game during their three-game winning streak. The last team to run the ball 31 times against the Rams beat the Rams. That was the Washington Redskins. So the Rams are used to facing offenses that give up on the run. They face teams that average 26 carries for the season. The Vikings have run the ball 32 times per game in their three-game winning streak. So strength versus strength on Sunday when the Vikings and Adrian Peterson go up against this Rams defense.
All right, week 9 preview time. Nice battle here between the Rams and the Vikings. A good game. But here's the individual battle to watch. Todd Gurley, the Rams, their rookie sensation running back. Adrian Peterson, the guy that Gurley's been compared to the most. Who's going to have the bigger day in the battle of the running backs?
It's got to be Todd Gurley. He's running better right now. I think he's got the easier matchup in this game, too. As good as the Vikings have been on defense, good front seven. I don't think they're as good as St. Louis. So Gurley and the Rams, they're going to get a big win and put them in the playoffs.
I think we all agree. I mean, I have Gurley on record saying he's going to have two 200-yard games at some point this season.
That's on record.
This week. Well, I tweeted it. Okay. You know, whatever that means. I think he's just running. He's the centerpiece of this offense. He's all they have on offense.
He's not only on pace to break Eric Dickerson's rookie rushing record, he has more yards by quite a bit in his first five games back from ACL surgery than Adrian Peterson had in his first five games after his own ACL surgery.
I'll go with the old guard. How about Adrian Peterson against the great Rams defense at home? Reminds everyone again that he is still the greatest in the game at the position. He's going to make Gurley look like a little boy. That's what I say. Yeah, deal with it.
He's not facing Gurley. Well, Peter.
Well, we're talking about a head-to-head
Gurley
matchup,
is not
remember?
A little boy. He's,
Peterson
he's a full-fledged
is the number three running back in the league. Looked very good last week. So it's no slight to Peterson. Gurley's just the new guy.
That sound put together by Nate Vaughn from the Around the NFL podcast, taking a look primarily at Adrian Peterson and Todd Gurley. So let's talk about Todd Gurley. This is the Rams' sensational rookie running back off to a hot start. Listen to these numbers for Todd Gurley. 6.1 yards per carry, number one in the NFL. 115 rushing yards per game, number one in the NFL. 7 runs of 20 or more yards, number two in the NFL. 4 100-yard rushing games to start his career. His first game of his career, he didn't start. His second game, he started, and he started the last 4 games. He's had 125 or more rushing yards in each of those 4 games, becoming the first NFL rookie to accomplish the feat. He's built a lot like Adrian Peterson, 6'1", 225 pounds. He's had early success in his career, much like Adrian Peterson, and that's why that has been such a talking point all week this week as people look at the Vikings and the Rams comparing Adrian Peterson and Todd Gurley. Now, obviously, Adrian's body of work is much more extensive. He's been in the league for 9 seasons, working on his 9th season right now. Gurley has just only begun, but because Gurley has started off so well, you get the comparisons to Adrian Peterson. On top of that, they have similar running styles. They are built similarly, so kind of a fun, juicy storyline in this game. We take a closer look at the Rams running game, and this is a very important game for the Vikings' weak side defensive end on any given play and for the linebackers, and here's why. The Rams like to use a lot of misdirection in some of their running plays. They line up with the fullback in front of Gurley. The fullback will go one way, and they give Gurley the option to follow the fullback or to go to the opposite direction as the fullback. And a lot of times what happens is a second-level linebacker will be keying on the fullback, will follow the fullback to try and find the running back. That's just when Todd Gurley will run a counter. He'll go the other way, and he'll break off a big run. So Todd Gurley is only a rookie, but he's already demonstrating great vision and great instincts, and the Rams do an excellent job with their running game scheme of confusing linebackers and taking advantage of lazy defensive ends who are collapsing on the play and not staying home. A lot of times what you'll see from the Rams offense is they will block down on a play. The fullback will follow the offensive linemen who are blocking down, and then they will counter with Gurley going the opposite way if the weak side defensive end is not staying home and he collapses on the offensive line. Gurley is going to break a big run, and that's what he's done to a lot of teams. Gurley, 94 carries on the season. 7 of those carries are for 20 yards or more. 19 of those carries are 0 or negative rushes. So it's a lot of feast or famine for Todd Gurley. The problem is when it's a feast, it's a feast for size, and he can ruin the game. The Rams are 3-1 since they made Todd Gurley their starting running back. Now, the Vikings defense will be, of course, defending Todd Gurley, but in so doing, they'll actually be defending Adrian Peterson. What do we mean by that? Well, if you look at Adrian Peterson's first 6 games and you compare what Todd Gurley has done in his first 5, if the Vikings defense can hold Todd Gurley to 94 yards or less and 1 TD or less, they will keep Todd Gurley from matching the start that Adrian Peterson had back in 2007. So a little game within the game to watch on Sunday when this explosive rookie running back goes against your Vikings defense. Now, we certainly are not the only ones talking about this Adrian Peterson-Todd Gurley matchup. Harrison Smith addressed the topic with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks on the Move the Sticks podcast. Here's what Harry the Hitman had to say.
Harrison, you got a big game coming up against the St. Louis Rams and a young running back in Todd Gurley that's been on fire. When you see him and you study him on tape, is there anybody else he reminds you of or somebody come to mind when you've looked at what Gurley's doing?
Well, I've seen there's been some comparisons to Adrian, especially at a young age, especially coming off the ACL that he has and kind of shown all this production that he's been able to do so recently after surgery. So he's making a lot of explosive runs, breaking tackles, runs very hard. So we've got our hands full with him and just got to focus on doing our job.
Do you have a checklist of guys you want to tackle? I mean, is there something you come into a game like this, a guy who's got all this buzz build and he is a big physical runner? When you look at this, you looking forward to that collision?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of why you play the game is to play against the best and go compete and make plays when the game's on the line. So, you know, that's what we're all kind of looking forward to is taking this challenge. You know, a very good running offense, a good running player, and, you know, trying to show who we are.
All right, Todd Gurley, though, not the only impressive rookie in this game.
Bridgewater with Rudolph and Asiata in the backfield out of the shotgun. On third down, takes the snap. Teddy looks left, fires, caught! Stephon Diggs, and he spins to the 30, 20, 15, 10, and touchdown! Stephon Diggs! Way to steal the show, Stephon! It's a 40-yard touchdown, and the Vikings are an extra point from tying the game.
There's your guy, Stephon Diggs. What an emergence in the Vikings passing game. Stephon Diggs is doing things we don't see every year, only active for four games on the season, but already Diggs is second in rookie receiving yards behind only Oakland's Amari Cooper. And Stephon Diggs, the first rookie in NFL history with 85 or more receiving yards in his first four games. So you talk about immediate production from a guy who looks like he's going to be a long-term playmaker for the Vikings. That is Stephon Diggs. Couple more things to clean up here in the Vikings-Rams preview. Let's take a look at an area where we want to see the Vikings improve, and that is offensively in the red zone. The problem is this is a hard team to mark improvement against. The St. Louis Rams red zone defense, as good as you'll ever see, not just this season, but as good as you will ever see. Listen to these numbers. Once inside the red zone, Rams opponents have scored fewer touchdowns than any other team's opponents. Only 31.3% of the time do the Rams surrender a touchdown in the red zone. 31.3% of the time. To lend some context to that, that's number one in the NFL. Number two in the NFL is the undefeated Cincinnati Bengals. Their touchdown percent allowed is at 43.8. So the Rams, 12% better than the number two team in the NFL. Absolutely a dominant performance by the Rams' red zone defense. Now, the Vikings' red zone offense is at just 38.1% touchdown conversions on the season. We need that number to improve. This is going to be a close, hotly contested physical game against the Rams, and scoring touchdowns in the red zone for the Vikings offense will be paramount. Finally, let's take a look at the injury report for both teams. Now, the first thing that pops out for the Vikings, both Anthony Barr and Eric Kendricks are on the injury report and have missed time in practice this week. So you hope that the Vikings won't be without them on game day. If they are, you have to figure Audie Cole is a candidate to step in for Eric Kendricks at Mike linebacker, although Audie Cole himself is on the injury report with a finger. And if Anthony Barr cannot go, maybe Edmund Robinson or Brandon Watts will see some time. Obviously, Chad Greenway would be out on the field a little bit more as well. Center Joe Berger missing some time in practice this week with a chest injury. Zach Karen would be the likely backup there if Joe Berger can't go. Sharif Floyd, Stephon Diggs on the injury report, a couple of other bumps and bruises, but we're not going to read too much into it because it's too early, and ultimately we won't know about injuries until 90 minutes before the game, but hopefully those guys can have a good week of practice, can heal up, and be ready to go against the Rams. For the Rams, Chris Long with a knee remains on the injury report. He's been missing practice this week, as has fellow defensive end Robert Quinn on the injury report with a knee. Running back Trey Mason is on there. Offensive lineman Rob Havenstein is on there. Safety TJ McDonald is on there. So we're getting to the point of the season, folks, where the injury reports bear watching, bear monitoring, because we're 8-9 games into the season. Bumps and bruises are starting to add up, and teams are going to have to survive a 2-3-4 game stretch sometimes without a starter. This is where depth on your roster can really start to pay off. The Vikings have pretty good depth in a lot of spots. You hope you don't have to rely on it, but if you do, the Vikings should be in pretty good shape. Okay, Nate, player we should be talking about that we haven't.
I'm the player you should be talking about?
No, you're not. Oh. You're definitely not. And thank God you're not one of our players. I mean, no offense.
None taken, I guess.
Well, I mean, the same can be said about me. I mean, the people listening to this podcast most certainly do not want us to be playing in the game.
You're probably right.
Right. But give me a player that we haven't talked about so far in this edition of the Wobcast that we should be talking about because, A, they're coming off of a good game or a string of good performances, and B, their performance on Sunday against the Rams will lead to whatever the outcome is.
Well, I think both applies in this instance. Okay. And I will proudly say that this person is not much or any taller than me. So, I mean, you can't just look at a person and decide.
I mean, the player that comes to mind immediately is Muggsy Bogues. Yeah. Muggsy Bogues.
Oh, that's very funny. You know he didn't play for the Vikings.
No, right? He didn't.
We're going to take a look at number 35, Marcus Sherrills, your NFC special teams player of the week this week. So he is getting a little bit of well-deserved credit and publicity. But overall, it seems like nobody really talks about him enough.
No.
Because of A, his reliability, at least, well, I say that, and he fumbled. But you
it wasn't
know
his fault.
You always know what you're going to get. It's the Windy City.
Right.
It's so breezy over there. To wrap this up, Marcus Sherrills, as reliable as they come on special teams.
Totally agree. And he got the special teams player of the week award because of the 65-yard touchdown return. But I'm also going to tell you, he's playing great as a gunner on the punt team. So he can return punts, but he also plays on our punt team. And he had two tackles against the Bears. So he was also contributing in that facet of the game. I mean, you talk to special teams coordinator Mike Prefer, assistant special teams coach Ryan Ficken, Mike Zimmer, and they'll tell you how important Marcus Sherrills is to our special teams group. And you might forget about him because he's not the household name that some of our other players might be. He doesn't play a lot on defense. But Marcus Sherrills does a lot of things to help this team win ball games. He did that against the Bears. And I got to tell you, that 65-yard punt return touchdown, name three plays more important than that one in the game. And you can name a lot of really important plays in the game, and all the plays you're going to name happen in the fourth quarter. But the reason I think that 65-yard punt return touchdown was so important is because looking back on how our offense was performing through the first three quarters of the game, we weren't probably going to score a touchdown on that drive. And so that's why I think that play was as important as any play in our Bears game. I mean, let's go through and list a few of the other big plays in that Bears game. Obviously, the Diggs touchdown.
Yeah, I was going to say we could start from the end and go backwards.
Okay.
Blair Walsh's game-winning field goal.
That was an important play.
Stephon Diggs, long touchdown. Charles Johnson's just
huge
grabbing
play.
The ball out of the air there.
Huge play. And all of those absolutely worth all the attention they've gotten. But none of them, maybe none of them happen without the 65-yard touchdown return by Marcus Sherrills in the first half, because that got us out to a lead, and that was obviously big in why we were able to tie the game at the end of the game. So I give Marcus Sherrills a lot of credit. He was a huge reason why the Vikings came out on top against the Bears last week.
Also give some of that credit to the punt return team, because as good as Sherrills is, he didn't really have to make anybody miss on that punt return. He
right.
just, you know, ran around the right side and he was gone.
Yep, you're right about that. A few key blocks. Now, Mike Zimmer broke down that punt return on this week's edition of Vikings Game Plan, which is our 30-minute pregame show, which airs on Sunday morning. So you can catch that on Sunday morning. Watch Mike Zimmer break that play down. We also post some segments of Vikings Game Plan on the website, so you can check out some of that analysis on the punt return by Marcus Sherrills, and then Pete Bursich breaks down some of the Rams defense as well. So make sure you go to the website and check all of that stuff out. Okay, let's move on to the next topic here. Three threats. I see you have three Rams listed, Nate. Let's go down three threats Vikings fans need to watch out for on Sunday from the St. Louis Rams roster.
Well, the first threat we'll talk about, we won't talk about too long because we've already spent most of the Wobcast talking about him.
Mm-hmm.
But the first is Todd Gurley.
Yeah.
Drawing comparisons to Adrian Peterson when he was in college and still now. I guess, what's the biggest thing to worry about with Todd Gurley?
I think with him is they do something with their run game that the Vikings also do. And what that is they keep coming at you with it. And the Vikings did that to the Chicago Bears. They did that twice to the Lions. They did it to the Chargers, and they did it to the Chiefs. They keep coming at you with Adrian Peterson and the running game, even though there are a lot of carries of 0 yards, 1 yard, 2 yard, 1 yard, 3 yard, 2 yard. They keep going. They don't give up on it. They continuously make you defend the run, continuously make you run blitz. And what that does over time is it does one or both of two things. One is, if you keep run blitzing, eventually you're going to misfit one of those run blitzes. You're going to leave a crease, and then Adrian or Todd Gurley, they're going to break through it and break off a long run. Both of those guys have been breaking off long runs this season. Adrian has 6 of over 20 yards. Gurley has 7. So they can break off the long run. The second thing is, it's a war of attrition. Over time, it wears out your defensive front. It wears out your pass rushers. And so at the end of the game, when you need a pass rush, your guys are tired from having to defend the run. And now you're able to throw the ball late in the game. And the Rams do that with Todd Gurley. So even if the Vikings are bottling up Gurley early in this game, he's not going to go away. The Lions gave up running the ball. The Chargers gave up running the ball. The Rams will not do that. Todd Gurley's going to keep coming at you.
The second player we're going to talk about, you mentioned at the top of the Wobcast, but we didn't really dive into it, is Aaron Donald.
Yeah.
You could argue one of the best in the NFL at his position. What is it that makes him so good, and how are the Vikings going to prevent him from being the player that we've seen so many games?
Well, he's undersized, and you know, he was, I remember he was at the Senior Bowl a couple years ago, and he dominated at the Senior Bowl, but the big knock on him was his size, and we've seen that be the knock for players at a lot of different positions. But lack of size isn't hurting Stephon Diggs, is it? Lack of size hasn't hurt Russell Wilson in his first few years. So he's undersized, but that doesn't matter. This guy, his effort, his motor is unbelievable. He's quick and he's strong. He's a good pass rusher. He can penetrate against the run. Pete Bursich did a great job of breaking down some of Aaron Donald's film on Vikings game plan. You'll be able to catch that on the website here at the end of the week. I encourage you to do so, and you can see just why Aaron Donald is so good. But long story shorter, Aaron Donald is good because he's quick and he's strong, and that combination is too much for most offensive linemen to handle.
Finally, the third player we're going to look at is Mark Barron. You might remember him from the 2012 draft class, the only safety drafted ahead of Harrison Smith.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're pretty happy with how our side turned out. But Mark Barron, still playing very well, drafted by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, traded to the St. Louis Rams, where now it seems almost half the time he's replacing Alec Ogletree, who was injured earlier this season. So safety, linebacker, one of those combo guys, and that's really kind of how he's making his mark in this Rams defense.
Exactly right. Tackling machine, playing in that linebacker position. He was selected by the Buccaneers 7th overall, but traded to the Rams last year for a 4th and a 6th round pick right about this time. And Jeff Fisher has done a great job of utilizing Mark Barron at both safety and linebacker, and right now it's going to be linebacker. So you're going to see a player with a jersey number in the 20s lining up as a linebacker for the Rams defense. It looks kind of funky, but it works. He's a tackling machine. He can go sideline to sideline against the run. He can drop into a zone or play on a tight end and in man coverage. So Mark Barron, a very good all-around defender for these St. Louis Rams. And Teddy Bridgewater is going to have to know where he is on every snap. I get a lot of fan emails from people saying, what the heck is up with the national media? They never give the Vikings enough credit. They never give us enough credit. Well, one of my favorite TV shows to catch every week, Inside the NFL, took a look at the Vikings and said, what about us? They made a case for why more people should be talking more about the Vikings.
Well, homage must be paid to undefeated teams like the Patriots, Panthers, Broncos, and the Cincinnati Bengals. We are here to acknowledge the growing chorus of teams saying, what about us? And a couple of teams I want to mention to you guys that I love watching play, the Minnesota Vikings, and how about the Oakland Raiders?
All right, so I'm not surprised about the Vikings for a couple of reasons. First and foremost, their head coach. He's the guy that sets the tone. He was a terrific hire by the Vikings. I got to know him when he was the defensive coordinator in Cincinnati. Look what he did with that defense when he was there, and Geno Atkins and everybody else. So Mike Zimmer is a terrific and highly respected head coach. The second thing is that they were getting Adrian Peterson back this year, and how highly motivated was he?
Let's get the opposition viewpoint on this Vikings-Rams matchup. To do that, let's go to Rams insider Miles Simmons for the DraftKings Extra Point segment from Vikings Game Plan.
Hey, thanks, guys. You know, I really think that this week the biggest storyline is going to be the matchup of running backs. On one side, you've got Adrian Peterson, obviously a great running back in this league for many years. But then on the other side, you've got the rookie Todd Gurley, and he has been just an outstanding runner. for the Rams in their past four games since he became a starter. And really, he became the only rookie running back in NFL history to rush for at least 125 yards in four consecutive games. Now, I think when you talk about what he's been able to do, really, the Rams are 3-1 since he had been inserted as a starter. So he's really kind of changed their offense. He's made them more of a dynamic run team. And that way, the Rams also can get off the field for a little bit longer on defense. And when you look at these two teams, what I think is actually pretty interesting is they're kind of built the same kind of way. You want to run the ball, you want to make some plays in the passing game when you need to, but you also really want to play good defense. Now, obviously, the Vikings have been able to do a very good job of that with those two young linebackers out of UCLA, but then on the side of the Rams, they've assembled a pretty darn good front with five former first-round picks. Obviously, only four will probably play in this game with Chris Long out with a knee injury, but what those guys up front are going to have to do is try to slow down that run game with Adrian Peterson, and then you've got another guy in Stephon Diggs on the outside. The cornerbacks have been playing well for the Rams, but they're going to need to do an even better job this week.
Okay, Nate, let's take a fan question here from our inbox. We encouraged people to email us last week their questions so we could use them on the Wobcast. We're coming through on our promise right here. So we have a fan email from
Michael.
All right, Michael asks.
Michael wants to know why you, Wobby, why you think the Vikings want to force the run rather than let Teddy Bridgewater air the ball out.
Well, I don't think they want to do that. I think going back to what we talked about before with how the Rams are going to keep coming at you with Todd Gurley time after time after time for two reasons. One, to make you keep defending it so that you can keep coming with those run blitzes, misfit it, and then he's going to break off a big one. And two, to wear down your pass rushers. That's what the Vikings want to do with Adrian Peterson and the running game. It's not that they're forcing the run. It's that they're running with some success, and they want to force the defense to have to defend the run because that can open things up for the passing game. But quite frankly, what the Vikings have been doing is working. I don't know why they would change it. If you take a look at the Vikings' last three wins, their run totals were 35, 35, and 25, averaging 31.7. That's the formula for success. By comparison, the passes in those three games, so the win over Kansas City, 35 runs, 33 passes. The win over Detroit, 35 runs, 39 passes. And then in Chicago, 25 runs and 31 passes, so fairly balanced. And I think that's the key to success. Conversely, let's look at the three games where the Vikings passed the most. Week one against San Francisco, what did we do?
That didn't turn out so well for us.
Week four at Denver.
Again, closer, but didn't turn out so well for us.
And then 2 weeks ago, we threw 39 passes against Detroit, and we won the game. That was our third highest passing attempts of the season. But in those first two, the Vikings lost games. So I think if you're trying to establish the run, if you're having success, and then if you stick with the run, you're finding that even in a passing league, being able to run the ball is important. So I don't look at it as the Vikings are forcing the run. I look at more as the Vikings are staying true to what they are, and that is a balanced team with one of the best running backs in the NFL. And what the forcing issue is the Vikings are forcing the opposing defense to defend the run, and that can open some things up in the passing game.
So, Michael, I hope that gives you a little bit of insight as to why at least Wobby thinks we're going to continue running the ball. Now, we're going to move on. Earlier this week, we saw the trade deadline come and go
in the NFL. On Tuesday.
We saw a lot of speculation, but very little action throughout the entire league.
Very typical for the NFL trading deadline,
right? It's always fun to talk about those things.
It is.
So much fun, in fact, that even after it's passed, I still want you to talk about a few trades that you would have liked to have seen.
Yep.
Maybe not trades that totally make sense for all parties involved, but that you think is interesting.
Right. Okay, number one. Jay Cutler traded to the New York Jets. Ryan Fitzpatrick ailing with a hand injury. Geno Smith, yeah, you don't really know what you got there. You got a team with a good defense, a team that is chasing the Patriots in the East and probably won't catch them, but could capture a wild card berth in the AFC if they can rack up enough wins. Why don't they go get a quarterback? Plus, we play the Bears later in the season, so now we won't have to deal with Jay Cutler.
That's both good points.
Okay. All right. Number two, Calvin Johnson.
Okay.
Think about an AFC team right now that if Calvin Johnson went to this team, like everyone, I mean, jaws would hit the floor and people would predict this team would roll on, not lose a game the rest of the season and win the Super Bowl. Who would it be?
Well, I think they're already predicting some of those things about this team, but I'm going to say the Patriots.
Yes. I mean, Calvin Johnson to the Patriots. I mean, we saw what Tom Brady did with Randy Moss back in 2007. And don't you think something similar would happen with Calvin Johnson? Because he's as good as Randy was in 07, I would think, or at least close, maybe better. But a similar thing would happen, a vertical threat that when in trouble, Tom Brady, oh, good, just what Tom Brady needs to be able to do is just throw it up downfield when he's under duress. If he didn't already have enough advantages with Gronk, now he can do it with Calvin Johnson.
Okay, so Megatron to the Patriots.
Yep.
I see one more listed here.
Okay, do you sense a theme coming?
I do, but I'm going to wait to talk about it until after this one.
All right, the third and final one, Matt Forte to a team that just lost a starting running back that is one of the best running backs in the NFL. That team is?
The Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yes, Le'Veon Bell out for the season with a knee injury. Matt Forte also has a little bit of an injury right now, but will be back to play this season. So the Steelers should have acquired Matt Forte at the trading deadline to keep their offense balanced. We already know they can go with Big Ben to Antonio Brown, but they need to have a running game, and Matt Forte would give them that. Plus, Matt Forte you can use as a receiver in the passing game, and you can. That's what the Steelers were doing with Le'Veon Bell as well. So now they have Matt Forte, and the Steelers' offense continues to roll on.
Maybe give the Patriots a run for their money with Tom Brady and Calvin Johnson.
Right. And then, I mean, offensive firepower-wise, you'd have Brady with Calvin Johnson and Gronk and Edelman, and then you'd have Big Ben with Antonio Brown and Matt Forte. Now, those are some fun matchups, and it would be awesome to see Pittsburgh and New England go toe-to-toe.
And Jay Cutler slinging it to Brandon Marshall and Eric Decker.
Right, so voila, Jay Cutler, Matt Forte, and
the path to the NFC North title gets extremely easy.
And Calvin Johnson are now out of our division.
I'm sure Mike Zimmer wouldn't mind you being the commissioner of the NFL in that regard.
Well, I'd be happy to do that.
Maybe we should talk to him about that.
Right, it would help my paycheck immensely, my bank account immensely.
We're going to take a look at some over-unders now to wrap this Wobcast up. The first over-under, because we haven't talked about it enough already, we're going to look at rushing yards for Todd Gurley. And I'm going to put the over-under at 95 for the reasons you gave earlier, to basically protect Adrian Peterson's mark from the first six games of his rookie season.
With all due respect to Todd Gurley, I do not think he's going to match Adrian Peterson's first six games of production, so I'm taking the under on 95 rushing yards for Todd Gurley. Now, the Rams' offensive line has had to deal with an injury. They lost their starting right guard, Roger Saffold. So they've had to do a little bit of shuffling. Garrett Reynolds is in. Jamon Brown has switched spots. And this Rams offensive line is starting to play a little bit better, but I like the Vikings defensive line much more. And I think they're going to show up, and they're going to be able to hold Todd Gurley to fewer than 95 rushing yards, and that's going to force Nick Foles to put the ball in the air, and hopefully we can take advantage of that.
All right, the second over-under we're going to take a look at is sacks for the Vikings against the Rams. So the number of times a Vikings player sacks a Rams player. Part of the reason we're taking a look at this is a reason that you hinted at a little bit in the first one, was the Rams offensive line, not world beaters, respectable, but still a little bit shaky. Having said that, they've allowed the fifth fewest sacks in the NFL this season. So at least holding it together in the passing game pretty well. Seven sacks against Detroit, but only one sack against Chicago. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the win is most important, but only one sack of Jay Cutler. Their average on the season is 2.5, so that's what we're going to put the over-under at.
Uh-huh.
It's 2.5 sacks for the Minnesota Vikings. What say you?
I like how you put that together. I'm going to go over, and I think the first one and the second one go hand in hand. So because I think we're going to hold Todd Gurley fairly well in check, I think our pass rush is going to have opportunities to get after it. I think the Rams will be in some third and mediums, third and longs. That's going to force Nick Foles to drop back to pass, and that's when our defensive linemen and our linebackers are going to get after him. So I will take over 2.5 sacks for the Vikings defense on Sunday.
And the final over-under we're going to take a look at ties back to the fan question. And hear me out on this. It might take a little bit for me to explain this, even though you did such a great job earlier.
Thank you.
In the last three wins that the Vikings have had, they've had rushing attempts, a number of rushing attempts at 35, 35, and 25.
Yes.
Both healthy mixes in relation to the number of number of passes, but I think we can both agree having a higher number of runs is probably a positive thing for the Vikings and a good recipe for success.
Yes, because, I mean, it's Adrian Peterson, so you get to run the ball a bunch with him. That's good, and it probably means you're winning at the end of the game.
Right.
Right.
So if you look at the average of those three games that we won, the average is 31.7
okay.
rushing attempts. So to round it a little bit, I'm going to put the over-under at 31.5 rushing attempts by the Minnesota Vikings in this football game. What do you think? More
over.
Or less?
Over. Yep. I'll take the over on that as well. And I think that Norv wants to pass the ball a bunch with Teddy Bridgewater. So, I don't think the Vikings run the ball a lot to protect themselves from having Teddy throw it. I think the Vikings run the ball a lot because they have Adrian Peterson and because they know that they need to be balanced and they need the run game to open things up for the passing game in a lot of situations. And I think this is one of them. If you go into this game and you go into the game with a bunch of passing plays ready to go, that's fine and well. But if the Rams defensive line doesn't think that they have to respect Adrian, they're just going to pin their ears back and get after it, Robert Quinn's going to get you. So I think the Vikings are going to go into this game wanting to set the tempo on offense, wanting to be physical, and wanting to run Adrian Peterson at this front to soften it up so that Teddy in the passing game can open things up in the second half. But I think that strategy early in the game with all of those runs to soften up the Rams front, on top of the fact that hopefully we're winning at the end of the game and then running the ball to run the clock out, I think we'll get the Vikings to 32 rushes or more in this game. I think that's it, Nate. Anything else to add before we go here?
I have nothing. I'm out of paper.
Okay. And we're out of time. So we're going to go now. And we're going to hope the Vikings defeat the St. Louis Rams, because Wobcasts on Monday are much more fun after victories, because there are highlights and fun things to talk about. And if the Vikings can pull that off, folks, they will be 6-2, looking to keep pace with those Green Bay Packers, with a date with those Green Bay Packers just a few weeks away. The Vikings play the Rams this Sunday. They are at Oakland next Sunday, and then host the Green Bay Packers the Sunday after that. On behalf of producer Nate Vaughn, I'm your host, Mike Wobshall. That'll do it for this edition of the Wobcast. Enjoy the Vikings game on Sunday. Kickoff is at noon, and then make sure to tune in to next week's Wobcast on Monday. Until then, we'll talk to you later.